All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to go to an interesting video here. We still have a lot of news to get to in this third hour. I'm going to be joined by Jason Jones here in just a second. We're going to be talking about Israel taking over the West Bank in flagrant disregard of international law and decency and the demands of President Trump. So I'm very excited to talk to him, but I want to go to this video. This is amazing. This is clip 47. This is a former Lewiston City Councilman, Tim Gallant, and basically, Lewiston was the city council was debating a bill that basically they were going to disavow ICE and not cooperate with any ICE enforcement. And this former city councilman basically just shattered their entire paradigm. However, they still voted to not cooperate with ICE despite this. Let's go to clip 47. This is Lewiston. Former city councilman, Tim Gallant.
Tim Gallant, Ward 7, prior councilman here for this fine city. I'm here against this ordinance. I just can't believe we wasted this much city money. We're crying about a budget, paying a lawyer to look at things we don't need. That is just beyond my comprehension of stupidity. My biggest problem with all this is you're trying to support 10% of the city by the census in 2025. What about the other 90%? What are you doing for them? What have you done for them? 5% tax increase? And then we had our mayor, and I'll quote, ICE operations in Maine have failed to improve public safety. How many gunshot issues have we had since ICE came to town? How about zero? Look at the police blotter. Zero. When's the last time we had 3 or 4 months of zero problems? But that don't count. That's not a crime problem, obviously, to the mayor. So I think we need to smarten up and think about this. You don't need this ordinance. There's one coming. You need to think about public safety and how we take care of it. You need to think about how to get ICE back in here, because if we didn't have people who are illegal, they wouldn't be here. You know, I keep hearing they're hiding in their houses. If you're not illegal, why do you hide in your house? Or you have a legal friend or a partner or somebody else involved in the system. The kids are hyped up in school for the simple reasons our teachers hyped them up. Just like up in Bangor when they did a march against ICE and had really ugly signs all organized by teachers, not kids, during school hours. What is wrong with people? They're out there trying to help and save us. Do they make mistakes? Sure. Raise your hand up there who's never made a mistake. I didn't see no hands. So, yeah, there's going to be problems, and we'll let the legal system take care of it, but not at the city level. We have enough problems right now to try to take care of on our own. So stop wasting your time and money and our time on an ordinance that means nothing to 70, 80, 90% of our community. It means nothing to them. It gives them nothing. No value. No value added. That's not true. Because when ICE is here, the value added is it's safe to come downtown. It's safe to walk around some of these communities we've missed.
That's time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so there he is talking about the fact that they've had zero shootings in Lewiston, Maine in the last 4 months from exactly the time that ICE arrived. And if we go to this map, you can see the map of shootings pre- and post-ICE. So here's 2019, where you have dozens of shootings, and here's 2025 after the ICE surge. Okay, so every one of these red dots is a shooting that occurred in 2019. These are the ones that occurred in 2020, and that's entirely because ICE showed up and cleared the criminals out. How insane is that? And guys, open up the retweet there. The main former Lewiston City Councilman, Tim Gallant. Yeah, because I want to see. Yeah, it's still passed. After a lengthy public comment, the proposal passed 5-2. It really doesn't matter to them. It really doesn't matter. You can literally show them the report and go, hey, before ICE was here, there were dozens of shootings. After they came, there were zero. And it doesn't matter to them. It really doesn't. They'd rather you get shot than have to admit that they're wrong. Sorry.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be joined now by Jason Jones. You can follow him on X at Jason Jones VPP, and that stands for Vulnerable People Project, and you can find them at vulnerablepeopleproject.com. He, of course, is the host of the Jason Jones Show podcast and is very concerned about what's happening in the more vulnerable populations in and around Israel. Jason, welcome to the show, sir.
Harrison, thanks for having me on. It's good seeing you.
Very good seeing you too. I wish it was better news that we could be covering, but tell us about what the Vulnerable People Project is doing and what their major concerns are these days.
Yeah, well, you know, since the outbreak of war in Gaza, the Vulnerable People Project, we've been very active inside Gaza, providing hot meals, firewood in the winter, shelter for the small and embattled Christian community, and also for the orphan communities there as well. And we've been working in the West Bank. I, in fact, was just there. I've been there four times this year. I was just there for Christmas. And we decided we were going to launch this Save West Bank Christians campaign on Ash Wednesday. And as you can tell, I'm Catholic. I didn't bump my head. I'm not a mechanic. It's Ash Wednesday. And but sadly, Israel decided that today would be the day. Well, this week, they announced that they're going to drop 11,000 houses in the Christian communities in the West Bank. Smutrich, the finance minister, just said yesterday that their ultimate goal is the ethnic cleansing of Christians, that Beth-Sahur is not their only goal, but that their ultimate objective is to remove the Christians from Bethlehem. And this is a reality. We're seeing the descendants of the Jews that accepted Jesus, the oldest Christian community in the world. These Christians descend from those who walked with and among the apostles. Their families were in the upper room. And we're about to witness the cleansing of the oldest Christian community in the world from the birthplace of Christianity, Bethlehem. And what makes this tragic is that, you know, American Christians, especially evangelical Christians, we're looking at maybe four, five, six, seven decades of propaganda that not only are Christians sitting on their hands in the United States, but there are some quote-unquote Christian communities, because I think Christian Zionism is apostasy. It's a denial that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises to Abraham. But there are these ecclesial communities, we can call them, that are cheering on the destruction, the murder. Yesterday, they slaughtered hundreds of sheep that belonged to Palestinian Christians. 2 weeks ago, a Palestinian farmer, an elderly man, was shot in the head. So these are the kind of abuses that Christians are suffering in the West Bank. And if there's not silence coming from the West, there's actually a chorus advocating for it. And when someone courageous like Kerry Prejean Bowler, who was in the Religious Freedom Commission, speaks up in defense of the Palestinians, they immediately move and seek to destroy her.
Yeah. And they succeed in it. It was just very troubling. And you've been sounding the alarm on this, and obviously it's increased quite a bit, the aggressiveness of the Israelis from Vulnerable People Project. You say, Bethlehem is still home to a living Christian community, but it's under threat. Visit Save West Bank Christian site below to get the latest update. So if people want to know more about this, then go to SaveWestBankChristians.com. And I really encourage you to follow Vulnerable People Project at vulnerable_VPP on X. You can join the Vulnerable People Project by protecting the Holy Land's ancient Christian community. And I want to get more into that, but just some of the headlines from today. Jordan is next. West Bank annexation signals silence transfer. The occupied West Bank, that's from Al Jazeera. As Israel takes steps to claim land in West Bank, U.S. stands by. Despite President Trump's opposition to annexation, Israel has taken steps to expand control over the West Bank, and experts say may lead to seizure of the territory. Yes, obviously, that's the point. Top Israeli minister pushes for immigration of West Bank Gaza Palestinians. This is Beziel Smotrich, who says, we will eliminate the idea of an Arab terror state, and is encouraging them to immigrate, a.k.a. ethnic cleansing. Holy Land Patriarch decries Israel's devastation of Gaza, rising settler attacks in the West Bank. This is from LifeSite News. So this is all from just the last few days. This article is from a week ago, but obviously it hasn't slowed down at all. Do you have any idea why Trump is letting this happen? Because I played over and over again. He was asked about the West Bank about 2 months ago, and he said in no uncertain terms, not happening. They're not annexing it. There's too much aggression in the West Bank. I don't like it. That's not going to happen. Well, it's happening, and nobody from the U.S. seems interested in even talking about it, let alone trying to stop it. Why are they being allowed to do this, and you know, what can we do to stop it?
Well, Harrison, you posted something on X that was chilling. I think it was today. It's today when I saw it, that Israelis were caught placing tracking devices, did I see this right, on yes. the president's emergency response vehicles, as if they want to know where the president's being taken after he was shot. You know, or do they want to send him flowers, I think, as you suggested. Or someone sent that to me and said, I think they want to know where to send flowers. I don't know if you said that or someone posted that in response to your post. I think there's fear. When you have Ambassador Mike Huckabee that needs to be recalled, he is not the ambassador of the United States to Israel. He is Israel's agent working from the embassy in Israel. This is a man who went to Gaza, saw famine. I know people that were with him. When he witnessed famine, he came back and held a press conference and denied the famine. This is a man that met with one of the greatest traitors in American history. He tried to meet with him clandestinely in the embassy. Now we know, I call Israel, I'm from Hawaii. We call the United States the mainland, and Hawaii is an island. So I call, you know, Israel now is, to me, Epstein mainland. So we now know the state of Israel was abusing American girls in the worst possible way in the attempts to blackmail, bribe, and control American politicians. You have Mike Huckabee behaving as if someone who is completely controlled. Mike Johnson went to the West Bank, met with the settlers that were attacking Christians, and gave them a pep talk. How in the world does a Christian go to the birthplace of Christianity and cheer terrorists on, and that's what I think these settlers are. We call them settlers. That's a nice way of saying ethno-nationalist terrorists, because they are racist. They are ethno-nationalists. And this is hard for so many Christians to understand because of decades of propaganda. They hate you. They hate you. They hate the Christians more than they hate the Muslims. And you can go to our website and you can see videos of Christians being spit on in Jerusalem. And, you know, I have very big sons and I took them there, you know, and they're both kickboxers and very big. My one son's 6'6". They're very big, strong boys. I'm like, look it, we can't go to prison. Your dad runs an organization. Be very careful because, you know, this is something that when you're holding, if you're wearing a cross or a crucifix or praying the rosary down the street, you're liable to get spit on, especially if you're a little Palestinian woman, a little Armenian woman. This is what's happening. But Harrison, this is why I'm so grateful for you, your show, your audience, your courage, because I don't know about you. I used to be a Christian Zionist. I call it conservative intersectionality. It's something I didn't think about too much, but hey, I'm pro-life. I support the Second Amendment, small government. I'm a conservative. Well, I guess I'm on Team Israel. But then, it was for me, really what red-pilled me on this issue was when I was in Egypt evacuating wounded Christian women. And a Muslim woman, wounded women, pregnant women and children, children and pregnant women that were wounded in the war. And that's when I really began to meet the Palestinian community up close. And I realized how indoctrinated that I was that I really had a deeply held prejudice against Palestinians. And this was as I was rescuing them, bringing them into Egypt from Gaza. Then I wrote an article when I came back called Help, I'm an Anti-Palestinian Bigot. You know, the very first thing the Vulnerable People Project did on October 7th was I greenlit, and we didn't have the budget for it, but I said, let's do it. I greenlit providing security for one of the most vulnerable Jewish communities in Africa. And this is where I was. And this is where I still am, by the way. I want all peoples, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religion, to be protected. But now we're being asked to hold to a prejudice, a cruel bigotry, like Congressman Randy Fine holds to, where when he sees a picture of a dead Palestinian child, he says, this is great. Can I see more of these pictures? This is vicious. This is cruel. And if you look at the attack on Carrie Prejean Bowler, they're attacking her not because she's anti-Semitic, which of course she's not. They're not attacking her because she's a bigot, because of course she's not. They're attacking her because she had the nerve to go into Capitol Hill and advocate for the dignity of Palestinians.
Right.
And therefore she quote unquote must be anti-Semitic. Meanwhile, on that committee, there were people judging her, grilling her like it was a CCP struggle session. And all for what? All of them have said the most vile things advocating Israel's genocide, denying the existence of the people of Palestine, denying their dignity, denying their right to live there. I mean, Smotrich this week called for the ethnic cleansing of Christians from Bethlehem. And if this doesn't wake up America's Christians, I don't know what will. But that's why I'm grateful for you and your audience, because I think most of us probably spend most of our life in the same place. But we need to raise our voice and say, you are not going to use our money, our weapon systems to foment an ethnic cleansing. You are not going to beat, brutalize, and rob the oldest Christian community in the world. When the apostles were told to go to the ends of the earth, it was their families that found our families.
Right.
And we should have some sense of reciprocity, some sense of responsibility to them. And they want to quote Genesis 15. And of course, they twist it. They quote it out of all context. If you want to bless the descendants of Abraham, you will bless the Palestinian people. You will stand specifically and most especially with those Christians, those descendants of the very first people that were in it, that were in Jerusalem, that they walked with the apostles. You will stand with them. And I think that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to stand with whatever community is suffering violence and scapegoating, whether it be Yazidi or Uyghur or Palestinian Christians. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the propaganda and the power of the propaganda. And, you know, part of, I think, the strategy that Israel pursues that is shockingly effective is the total inversion of reality. And I know our audience is pretty aware of this, but it's the idea that anytime you watch an official, Israeli official, or somebody on Israeli media talk about Bethlehem or the West Bank, they'll say, you know, the Christians only can survive if Israel's in charge, and Israel is the only place in the Middle East where the Christian population is growing. They don't just say, actually, it's fine, you know, the Christians are okay. They have to go farther, and they have to say, no, actually, if we don't move in, then the Christians, you know, are at risk. I mean, how do you even deal with that level of just abject inversion of reality when it's the Israeli settlers that are viciously attacking and driving out the Christians while simultaneously saying, we are the Christians' greatest protector? I think people have trouble comprehending that that's how bad the propaganda
it's
is.
Really, I've seen it when I've talked to people. You know, I've seen the confusion when they go, oh, you're saving West Bank Christians. Wow. Yeah. Those Muslims are really nasty, aren't they? I say, well, actually, no, it's the state of Israel and settlers. And they go, wait, what? No, the settlers are protecting the Christians. I'm like, well, where did you get this idea? And the other idea is I was at an embassy party a couple of months ago, and a friend of mine that works at the White House was there. And he said that, that an Israeli official was ranting and raving about Jason Jones because he goes on the media and humanizes Palestinians and talks about the French fries and how good the food is and how it's safe. As you can see right there, I have Visit Palestine. Do you guys see that right there? And I want you to visit Palestine. I want you to go to the West Bank. It is not dangerous. It is the safest place on earth. I feel much more at home in the West Bank than I do in Israel. I feel welcomed. I've walked all over the West Bank by myself. You don't look more American or whiter than I do, right? You can't. And I'm usually walking around wearing my Chicago White Sox hat so people know I'm an American. You're not going to miss it. And I'm so welcome. And I will tell you, the food is great. The people are great. I love it. And I'm sad because of my work. I don't know how much longer the state of Israel is going to even allow me back. And the idea that I can never go back to the West Bank, the idea that I will not be allowed into Gaza and meet with my team members who have been serving the orphan community and the Christian community really breaks my heart because I so love the Palestinian people. And by the way, I'm also charmed by Israelis. And hundreds of thousands of Israelis have taken to the streets and protested this barbarism and cruelty. So, you know, I brought my sons for Christmas. I said, be prepared to be charmed by everyone you meet, you know. Right. But I will say, I do really feel more at home in the West Bank. When you begin to drive toward the West Bank on your map quest or Waze or whatever you use, Google Maps, it will begin to say danger area, danger zone. And I have friends that are Jewish. They go there. They're big advocates for the Palestinian people. They've gone to Gaza before the war. I've never had an incident. I have never, ever had an incident. In fact, all I've ever been is welcomed. All I've ever felt is kindness. And so we've been so lied to that the Palestinian people, by the way, are considered the most educated people in the Middle East and with much higher rates of graduate degrees than Israelis. But they talk about them as if they're stupid, low. I've heard, I think it was Ben Shapiro said that they have the lowest IQs in the Middle East. Who talks like this? Who says things like this? Smearing a people. No,
and even if it was true, it's like, okay, and you know,
and what? My IQ is probably not that high. What are you saying about me?
Exactly.
You know, I'm probably the dumbest guy in every room I've ever entered. I hope that doesn't green light people to punch me in the face and steal my home. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But it's not true. You're dealing with the highly educated people. And there's also a mystery. You know, I get really upset at this. And in fact, my friends asked me to go to this conference this week. I said, I better not go. There'll probably be an incident. You guys can go without me. I don't have, the people there would not be happy at my presence. And I probably wouldn't respond in a Christian way. And when I look at the Christians of the West Bank, the Palestinian Christian community, I've asked myself, how are they so magnanimous? How are they so charitable? How are they so forgiving and empathetic and understanding in the midst of all of the brutality they're suffering, their even dignity and existence denied by Christians in the West? How is it? And I thought about this. You know, in our theology as Christians, we believe that God's grace works upon our nature. So I've been a Christian. I'm 54. I've been a Christian now for 22 years. So God's grace has been working on me. God's grace works on Christian families. God's grace works on Christian communities and people. When you go and meet the Christians in Gaza or the Christians in Jerusalem or in the West Bank, you're meeting a Christian community that has been there since the first century. God's grace has been working on these families for 2,000 years. And it's something that is really, really noticeable. And that's one of the reasons why my heart breaks at the thought I may never be allowed into Israel again, because I really enjoy and I love going to the Holy Land. Obviously, to go to the Church of the Nativity and to walk where the apostles walked. But for me, it's more the living stones. Mm-hmm. All these friends that I now have, these Palestinians in this community, that the idea that I can never go see again and they're not allowed to leave is heartbreaking to me. But I would encourage everyone, go to the West Bank and not on an Israeli state-sponsored Potemkin Village propaganda tour.
Right.
Just go. By yourself with your friends and wander around, and you will be charmed. You will fall in love. You will see the truth. Go meet with the people. I was just in Tebe, the only 100% Christian village left in the West Bank that is under constant and brutal assault by settlers. I was in Ramallah. It's 80% Muslim, but the mayor is Christian. They voted for a Christian, and I've met and was charmed by these people. You know, go all over the West Bank. Don't just stop in Bethlehem. Go to Tebe. Go to Ramallah. Explore. And you will be charmed. And the more Americans that go and the more that Americans know the truth, the more restrained, I pray, the state of Israel is in this, what Smootrich is calling for, openly, an ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. And they're clearly hell-bent on this, and they're doing it. And, you know, I don't have a hell of a lot of faith that they're going to, you know, wake up to, you know, the reality of what they're doing and go, gee, we're kind of being jerks here. So, like, it's going to take, you know, an outside force to stop them, right? If America were to actually put their foot down and say, you got to stop this or there's going to be a problem, you know, that would have an effect. But short of that, like, what can people do? Because the way it's set up now, the settlers are able to go out and attack Palestinians, but the Palestinians fight back. The IDF will arrest the Palestinians. So it's not like you can fight back.
Or shoot you on the spot. Yeah. My friend, a young woman, they took her home, they demolished it, and they beat her up, and she was arrested. She was arrested. This is from former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett in the press today. No one will love Israel, so they will have to fear us.
Yep.
They're talking about us. They're talking to us. This was Smootrich yesterday. Oh, just yesterday, settlers entered the Palestinian land, Christian land in the West Bank. They vandalized it. They took down the fence. They ripped up the olive trees. And no arrests were made every single day. So when you go to SaveWestBankChristians.com, we will be updating every attack every day across the West Bank. And we are building out a communication system to get this information daily to the Christian press, and to the Christian community. And you can bet we're focusing on Iowa for the Iowa straw poll to prepare Iowa. We're focusing on Michigan and Pennsylvania. And so we will make sure that people are educated on these issues. And it's not just, by the way, the state of Israel. I have to say, in India, the rise of Hindu nationalism, right-wing, what they call Hinduva assaults on Christians in one state alone last year, 300 churches were burned down.
Oh, wow.
In one Indian state alone. An evangelical Christian pastor was forced a couple of weeks ago to eat cow manure. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing the rise of brutality against Christians, of course, in Africa, Nigeria. The Numa Mountains of Sudan is under relentless attack from Khartoum. We have what's happening in India and the CCP. Turkey, Israel, and Azerbaijan partnered together 2 years ago to ethnically cleanse a Christian community from Artsakh that had been there since the third century, and we were silent. And if we as Christians can't stand with the persecuted church, it's really heartbreaking to me. I mean, there have never been Christians with more power and influence than those of us here, American Christians today. We have access to media. We have access to wealth. We have access to influence. And this is a privilege that we need to steward. Yeah. And in Ecclesiastes 4:1, King Solomon said, I looked all over the world and all I see is oppression. And on the side of the oppressor is power. And on the side of the oppressed, there is no one. That was true when Solomon said that. But today there's the body of Christ, the community of believers across ecclesial communities, evangelical, mainland Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, all of us together. Where there is oppression, we should be found. Where there are orphans, we should be found. Where there are widows, there we should be found. Where there are children missing limbs, freezing to death, dying from exposure, like in Gaza, we should be found. And that's why I'm proud to say at VPP, we provided every Christian family a pop-up home this Christmas season, and we will be advocating for the Christians and persecuted communities in the West Bank and around the world will continue.
It's just incredible work. People can find that by going to thevulnerablepeopleproject.com. Can you stay for the rest of the hour? Can you stay for the next segment?
Oh, I'd be honored to. Thank
okay,
you.
I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to, but we got to stick with this because there's a lot of topics that are involved with this that I need to get to the bottom of. We'll be right back, folks.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're covering a very important topic with Jason Jones right now. But I got to tell you, folks, you only got a few more hours. If you want to support us and get the best discount that you'll ever have on the AlexJonesStore.com, 52% off site-wide right now, but only until midnight tonight. And we will not be on the air if you don't support us. We need your support. We rely and require your support to continue to operate in the way that we do, but we make it so easy for you to support us because you get a fantastic product that would be well worth the price at full price. We knock off 52% from that price, and you can shop happily knowing that you support this outlet and our really indefatigable quest for the truth, justice, and just all the wonderful things in the world. And it's hard to even talk about this stuff when you know how evil the world is. But, you know, the merchandise, the t-shirts and hats and hoodies are some of the coolest products we have on the site. I know our supplements are, you know, better than anybody's, but I love the t-shirts that we have. And we have, of course, some funny ones like the Quality Leering Center. that, you know, will go mostly unnoticed by people, but anybody who gets the joke will immediately become your friend. That's very fun. I love that. This is probably like my favorite new hoodie. It's really a bright red. It's the Desvolt No Retreat, No Surrender hoodie. And anytime we have a lot of just classic Americana stuff, right? 1776 with the Betsy Ross flag, America Liberty Supply Company, 1776, Live Free or Die. That stuff's pretty safe. Everybody loves America. Who's American? Everybody's down with that. As soon as you start like showing other symbols, like the cross, I get messages from people, don't you know? Oh, what? Why are you using that cross? That's the Jerusalem cross. That's the, oh, so you're saying the Crusaders? You must be a Jesuit. And it's like, guys, can we calm down? It's a cross. It represents Christianity. It represents what we as crusaders for Christianity need to do, which is armor ourselves in the armor of God and go out and fight for what's right. That's what it represents. It's always very frustrating. It's like no matter what cross you use, somebody's going to have a problem with it. When in reality, right now, we all as Christians need to be coming together of all denominations, all proclivities, to recognize that above it all, we are all Christian. We all worship Jesus Christ, and we're all under threat right now from a combined satanic, multicultural attack. I mean, Jason Jones was going over Nigeria and the West Bank, all these places where Christians are being attacked. But let's not forget two churches in Germany were deliberately burned down in the last 24 hours, right? So Europe's not, you know, safe from this attack either. So I do hope you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Jason, I want to go to one video here really quick. It was taken, I believe, in the West Bank, and you get to see how the IDF is shepherding and chaperoning a bunch of West Bank settlers, Israeli settlers, who are mostly from, like, America, by the way. But you can see the way they treat the Palestinians like they're less than nothing, because we can go to the extremes, which are beyond absurd, like horrifying footage of people being dragged behind cars, and like it's crazy. But this type of stuff is just the everyday sort of quotidian repression that the Palestinians have to deal with, which as an American who loves freedom maybe to an unhealthy degree, I can't imagine being subject to this level of military repression on a constant basis. And it's just a little reminder of the everyday indignities that the Palestinian people are forced to bear under the Israeli leadership. So here's a quick video from a man, I believe named, his last name is Castle, but he was there as an American, Matt Castle. Here it is.
Okay, so here you can see the Israeli soldiers are now forcing all of these shops to close because there's a tour of Israeli settlers who are here. Can we go this way? Why? I'm an American journalist. Are we not allowed to go this way? Huh? Can you explain why this area is being closed? Okay, I'm walking.
One by one, Palestinians are forced to close their shops and leave the area. People wanting to return to their homes are prevented from doing so.
Can you explain just to me what's happening exactly?
Here?
Yeah.
No, I can't explain. It's not your job to picture here everything.
Huh?
It's not your job to picture.
So the settlers went on what they called the tour of the old city. It's strange just how normalized this situation is for Palestinians, where their lives can be disrupted in such a way on a weekly, if not daily, basis.
Yeah, so again, I couldn't imagine living under those conditions. Jason Jones is my guest. You can follow him on X at Jason Jones VPP. VPP stands for Vulnerable People Project. You can follow them at vulnerable_VPP, and you can go to vulnerablepeopleproject.com. And of course, Jason hosts the Jason Jones podcast, the Jason Jones Show, which is a podcast. You also have this, the Vulnerable People Project urgent plea to save West Bank Christians announced on Ash Wednesday. So this is your announcement today. Save West Bank Christians. People can go to the Vulnerable People Project and help you guys just get awareness out about what's happening in Bethlehem of all places. And, you know Bethlehem, everybody knows Bethlehem, but it is always astonishing me reading the New Testament and hearing, you know, Jesus was walking through Gaza, and you just think, oh my gosh, like what, how did the Holy Land where Jesus walked and ministered become this hellscape of death? It's just horrifying. So tell us what the Vulnerable People Project is doing and how people can support you guys with the Save West Bank Christians Project.
Well, right now we have a jobs program in the West Bank to try to keep young Christians to stay in the West Bank. But we really want to, we want President Trump to know that we stand with him. Does his Secretary of State stand with him? I don't think so. Does his ambassador to Israel stand with him? I don't think so. The President of the United States needs to know we stand with him. And he has made it very clear that he wants to prioritize protecting vulnerable Christian communities. There is no Christian community in the world more vulnerable than Christians in Gaza and Christians in the West Bank, period. And so if we can't stand with them, who can we stand with? Because we can pull the leash of this little welfare state that commits these abuses with our money. Right. And a lot of them are dual citizens. Like you said, a lot of these settlers are Americans. So if we can't stop the persecution of Christians in the West Bank, you think in a country the size of Nigeria with a complex array of threats and problems, we're going to be able to protect the Christians in Nigeria? So the president said he wants to prioritize protecting Christians, vulnerable Christians, number one. Number two, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, has been very clear. No more illegal settlements. All of these settlements in the West Bank are illegal. And how does Israel respond? How does Netanyahu respond? How does Smotrich respond? By stepping on the gas pedal, by greenlighting settlements like in Shtema that will be the end of the Christian communities in Bethlehem. And this video that you just showed makes your blood boil. But let me tell you this. It makes your blood boil, but that's minor. And as Americans, remember, I was on your show. I was the first American arrested protesting COVID. And, you know, that was the first day of COVID restrictions. Could you imagine Americans having to live the way Palestinians have to live? We wouldn't settle. We wouldn't take it for an hour. They'll shut off your travel so you can't go visit you can't take your child to school. It'll be a 2-mile drive. It'll take you 5 hours. They'll make it so you can't go to work. And with each of these new approved settlements, it makes it increasingly more challenging for the Palestinians. And so what happens is they give up and they leave. Yeah. And they move to the United States, they move to Europe, they move to South America. And what's interesting is so many of those who are calling for annihilation of the Palestinian people are also complaining about, emigration to Europe and the United States.
Right.
Well, maybe we should stop a regime change wars, like, God forbid, one is about to launch tonight in Iran. I pray not. But with each of these regime change wars, what do we get? We get flooded by migrants. They don't want to leave Iraq. They don't want to leave Syria. They're running for their lives. They're running from a catastrophes that we caused, that Benjamin Netanyahu came to our Congress and it went into our White Houses and begged for.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's, again, just the I guess for lack of a better term, the chutzpah of Israel. And, you know, I can bring it in because I re-downloaded the video because I knew I was going to want to play it, of Donald Trump again. And no, I mean, he is not the type of person that will always, be straight up front about what he wants. Usually, if there's a question, he'll say, well, we'll see about that and we'll see. But when he was asked about West Bank settlements, he said, no, it's not going to happen. They're not going to annex West Bank, not on my watch. And yet here they go. I mean, here they are from today. I think this may have been the Washington Post. As Israel takes steps to claim land in West Bank, U.S. stands by. Israel has moved aggressively in recent days to deepen its control over the occupied West Bank, unilaterally adopting policies that analysts say represent a major shift towards annexation and appear to defy President Donald Trump, who said that he opposes annexation but has not publicly pushed back on the escalating Israeli measures. This month, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's security cabinet, in a closed-door meeting, adopted measures to make it easier for settlers to purchase land and to circumvent the Palestinian Authority in areas it has controlled since the 1995 agreement under the Oslo Accords. The move was widely condemned in the Arab world and globally as a violation of international law and an undoing of decades-old regional security agreements. And it goes on and on. But, I mean, they are just aggressively slamming the gas pedal and trying to settle the West Bank in an effort to annex it, and nobody's doing anything about it. So why would Trump even say, no, you're not allowed to do this, if he's not willing to back that up? Now they're just making a fool out of him.
Well, do you remember when, I think it was on July 5th, I was intimately involved for a year and a half, and I'm still involved in a way, and evacuating American citizens and our allies when Afghanistan collapsed. Right. And on July 5th of 2021, Joe Biden went and told the world, you're not going to see helicopters on our embassy. This is not going to be a Saigon, a repeat of Saigon. And what did we see 6 weeks later? Not even 6 weeks later. We saw helicopters on the roofs of our embassies as our allies were being gunned down in the streets. This is going to be President Trump's Abbeygate. This is going to be President Trump's Afghanistan or Saigon. The American Christians are waking up, and they're waking up fast. In fact, I've never seen polls shift on any topic so dramatically, so rapidly in my life, and I don't think in the history of this country. And I don't think the politicians have realized yet how things have changed. And the river that they step in the next election, and especially the river that those folks who want to run for president are going to step in 2028, it's a different river than they think that they're in. Right. And so if President Trump wants to be remembered as the Christian that sat on his hands as the state of Israel ethnically cleansed the oldest Christian community in the world, that is going to be his legacy. And Israel is very clear. Once these Palestinians leave, they are never allowed to return.
Right.
And this is the heartbreaking thing for them. They're not even allowed to go from, you know, sometimes they can't go from one part of the West Bank to the other, let alone to Gaza, from Gaza to the West Bank. And it's I'm always embarrassed as an American with my blue passport, because I can go to Jordan, I can come to the West Bank, I can go to Tel Aviv, I can come back, and they're like, you know, my dream, my Palestinian friends in Jordan are like, my dream would be to go to where my family's from in Haifa. But that's a dream that I'll never be able to experience. And then yet there I am. I can do it. I can visit both places on the same day. Wow.
Yeah. It's an apartheid system, right? And I'm always, you know, kind of like what we were saying about the inversion of the propaganda, how they'll make official statements saying the only place Christians are safe in the Middle East is Israel. And it's just a complete reversal and inversion of what reality is. In the same way, I feel like sometimes I sound crazy describing the behavior of the settlers, and because you do, you sound like a crazy, just like psychotic Israel hater when you're like, these people they're evil. And but then it's like, yeah, I've got video of them just like breaking the legs of lambs for no reason, dragging Palestinians behind cars for fun. And it's like, what is behind the brutality? Why are they so brutal? How does this play into it? Because they could probably achieve what they wanted to without doing the horrible, brutal stuff, but they do it like on purpose almost. Why burn down the olive groves? Like, why are they so brutal? Is that a part of the psychological operation against Palestinians? And how do you handle this? Because like I said, it's like it causes such an emotional reaction to me. I then sound crazy being like, I hate these people. But it's like when you see what they do, it's hard not to hate them. What's your opinion on just the brutality and the intensity of the West Bank settlers?
Yeah, well, they're propagandized. In fact, can you believe I have a friend who is a settler outside of Bethlehem? He's a man I have known through the film industry. He's actually a guy that I adored. I let him know I was in the neighborhood. I wanted to meet with him. And he said, no, it's so dangerous. I can't meet you there. They're going to kill me. So they believe it's us or them. They have never had a proper relationship. They've never been able to make a relationship with the Palestinians. Of course, the Mizrahi Jews, those Jewish families that never left Palestine, that have been there for centuries or longer, they have a family and cultural memory of what it was like prior to the State of Israel. They don't have a fear or hostility towards the Palestinians the way these settlers coming from Eastern Europe, coming from the United States, will have, because they're really propagandized to believe that these people want to kill us. It's either us or them. And then when you're with the Palestinian community, it's jarring, because I was even expecting them to hold to deeply held anti-Semitic prejudice. And when I couldn't find it, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure, you know, every people has people with bigotry, but it's something I couldn't find. But then my Israeli friends speak so openly and shamelessly, clearly animated by prejudice. Randy Fine is just the perfect example, or Smootrich. You just look at their rhetoric, or you just go to the Epstein files and put in the word goy.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to go there, but to think that there is a relationship between Epstein Island and the state of Israel and the brutality of Palestinians and the killing of Americans and the raping of Americans.
And the dehumanization that
the dehumanization. Yeah. Put in the word goy and it's there. And yeah. The no respect for non-Jews. And it's hard for those of us who've been really history has taught us to be hypersensitive to Jews being victims of ethno-nationalist hatred. And that's a good thing. And it's hard for us to understand that Jews could be animated with an ethno-nationalist bigotry. By the way, born around the same time in Europe, this is a European ideology. It is not a Semitic ideology. Zionism, as we come to understand it, political Zionism was birthed in the 19th century. You can look at so many weird movements and cults like the Nation of Islam or, we can just look at all these strange movements or National Socialism, which came out of movements that were similar to this in Germany in the late 19th century. We're dealing with a virulent ethno-nationalist ideology that was birthed in Europe that foments a viciousness and cruelty towards the Palestinian people. But what's striking is how Christians sipping their pumpkin spice latte and their local Christian bookstore, reading their glossy Joel Osteen. No, the other guy, the Zionist, the Christian Zionist, you can read these books, and you see these nice guys in their sweater vests sipping their pumpkin spice lattes. And then out of their mouth says, all Palestinians are Amalekites and must be killed.
Crazy.
You're like, wow, where did you get that Gnostic, satanic, vicious, cruel propaganda? Oh, at the book on the bookshelf of your local Christian bookstore.
Right.
And you purchase that book. And you read it while sipping your pumpkin spice latte, and then you get in your Prius and you go home and watch Wheel of Fortune. But what we're seeing now in these churches, these ecclesial communities that promote Christian Zionism, they're dying. The under 30s are fleeing these communities. Right. And I do believe that evangelical Christianity, as we know it in the United States, was murdered in Gaza by the state of Israel because young people are repulsed by Zionist rhetoric.
And you know what? The other sad part of that is, because you're exactly right, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what happens is you have people believing that supporting Israel is tied up in their faith. The dangerous thing is they see the truth about Israel and they think, well, my faith must not be true. So, I think that is like a big hurdle to get over for a lot of evangelicals whose support of Israel is tied up with their faith, and they have a hard time coming to terms with what they learn about Israel because they think it makes them less Christian. That's a false dichotomy, y'all. You're just as Christian not supporting Israel, but people fall for that lie.
No, I agree with you 100%. What I love about being on your show is I'll go to the grocery store tonight, I'll go to the HEB, and five people will come up to me, and it's very diverse. They're not all the same religion. They're not all the same political spectrum. I think people would be shocked to know how diverse your audience is. And what scares me is a lot of people are abandoning their Christian faith. Now, look, I'm Catholic, and I'm a Catholic Christian, but they're abandoning their Christian faith for disgusting, violent, Gnostic, hateful ideologies grounded in ethno-nationalist racism. So imagine that you would flee Christianity because you're repulsed by ethno-nationalist ideology, and it can push you in one direction to vile, pagan, Gnostic, ethno-nationalist ideologies. And on the other hand, it can push you to the radical left. And so we're seeing young people, a lot of young men being pushed to the post-Christian right that fundamentally denies human dignity. You know what I love about being Christian? What I love, because I'm a passionate guy, and God forbid my emotions drove my thoughts. I love that our faith tells us we have no other. That the settler and the Palestinian are my brothers and they're my sisters, and that I need to order my life as a Christian to serve them, to lead them through my example and through my words to what we were created to do, which was a very simple mission statement, not easy, but it's a very simple mission statement. Love God and love your neighbor. And as young people, they're being brutalized. Look, imagine being 16 years old and reading the Epstein files on your phone.
Right.
Is this not going to radicalize young people? Are you kidding me? Imagine finding out that the job you dreamt of having isn't going to be available because of AI. These young people are facing a serious crisis, yeah. And virulent ideologies will be rising up to give them what they feel they need. But what they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they need to know is that we should love even our enemy. And at the end of the day, our enemy isn't even our enemy. It's our brother that's a lost sheep that needs to be brought into the fold. And I'm very grateful for this. But I can understand young people being radicalized by the viciousness and the cruelty and the rhetoric. And so I think it's very important that those of us who are Christians who are reject this are loud. Not just for the Palestinians, but for I'm a grandfather. I have 7 children, 4 grandchildren. And I worry that my children and grandchildren could be scandalized by this rhetoric and by this violence and by this bigotry and by this cruelty to abandoning the faith. The faith that Jesus gave us is what? There is no longer Gentile or Jew. There's no other. Yeah. I have no other. They can other me. That's great. That gives me empathy. That makes me thoughtful. But I'm not, by God's grace, I'm not going to other anyone. And if I saw civilians in Tel Aviv suffering the way that civilians in Beit Zohar and Tebet and Bethlehem are suffering, I would be on your show advocating for them.
Right.
If there were those denying the dignity of Jews and saying they weren't human and they were animals and that they should be removed and sent somewhere else, I'd be advocating for them.
And that
is the vocation of the Christian.
And it's hard not to fall into that feedback loop where you see how vicious and hateful some of these people are, and you think, okay, that's the rules of the game. If they're going, you know, they say that we all deserve to die because of what we believe, well, then they all deserve to die because of what they believe. And it's like, that's the false dichotomy. You don't want to fall into that. The only way to break this cycle of Nazi, Jew, Islamic extremist, a Jewish extremist, it's like, you got to break out. The only way to defeat this is love. And as cheesy as that sounds, it's undeniably true, because you see the way that the extremism on one side only begets extremism on the other side.
You know, Harrison, it sounds cheesy, right, for two men to sit here and say all you need is love, but love is the fabric of the universe. Love, God created us out of an act of love, and he created us to love. My mother passed away yesterday, and she was an atheist her entire life. And 10 days ago, she asked to be baptized, and the priest pointed at me and said, "You're her godfather." And I thought, how do I get to partner with God to help usher my mother into eternity? And she partnered with God to usher me into time. This is what it's all about. This is the ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I want to order my life for eternity. I want to order my life for eternity. And I think the one thing that we can do right now is stand with the persecuted, the lepers of our age, the vulnerable Christians in the West Bank, and stand and let President Trump know your words echo our heart. The settlements are illegal. The settlements are brutal. We need to stand with persecuted Christians. Let's start in the West Bank.
Amen. Wow, just incredibly powerful. Jason Jones, follow him on X, Jason Jones VPP, VulnerablePeopleProject.com, VulnerablePeopleProject.com. Save West Bank Christians. The project just launched today. Share it, support it. You do a lot of good work. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for being on with us today.
Thank you, brother.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.